You know how they do, and the artists do, they superimpose the old and the new on the same person. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. And then the two of them were there, and the one particularly in front looked very very colorful and brilliant and nice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I suppose I was walking into a funeral service. So I entered the church, and a lot of people, but you see, they were not in a mourning mood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then as I entered, everything started happening very fast. It happened as, you know, when you put something on fast forward, like you put a movie on fast forward. It was moving very fast. Every action, the songs, everything very fast. But I wasn't as fast as them. So I took time, I looked around, surveying the place, and found myself a place where I can comfortably sit and see what was happening. And suddenly, from the vestry, you know what they call vestry? I know some of you were. That place where choristers used to march out from. Two people carrying, came forward. They were carrying two babies. It's supposed to be a funeral service. But they said that there was no, that they didn't see it necessary to bring in the corpse inside there. The corpse of the woman that gave birth to the two, to the twins. So two people carried the twins, and they were coming, and everything was moving very fast. And as they stayed, it was like the two people, whether they lifted up the baby and all that, then I decided to walk out, and the dream passed. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And as we shared it and looked at it, we felt that it was Ikpe Church. Hallelujah. I thought you guys should be jumping up and rejoicing. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 That the dead woman has represent religion.
Amen.
Number one shout of amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now things began to happen very fast. In other words, situations are going to move on very fast in your midst. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fast forwarding into the future, you know, running. And we believe that that is what God is going to do. And the two babies represent the word and the spirit being offered up by the priest. The man was not wearing a priestly garment. He wasn't wearing all this church garment. He just came and they did all that. So God is going to establish the ministry of the word and of the spirit, and things will begin to work very fast. In fact, when the men came forward, the people were just rejoicing. They were just happy. They were not in a mourning mood. There was no crying. There was no need to see the dead. Hallelujah. Because the dead has been done away with. Hallelujah. So it's to encourage us, brethren, to begin to prepare. Now, some of you are here this morning. You just came to see what is going on here. I want to counsel you to be part of it. Don't come and be a spectator. But come and be a participant. Hallelujah. And flow with what God is going to do in our midst.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some of you are just coming and say, what is this that these people are doing? Hallelujah. What kind of church is this? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Just hold your breath and watch. God is going to visit you today. And your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you again and again and again. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you will expedite action.
Hallelujah.
In the things you want to do in this local assembly.
Amen.
Lord, that you will visit your people. For you said that in due season, you will come to them.
Amen.
And Lord, we know that this is the due season.
Amen.
Come to your people.
Amen.
Oh God, come to your people.
Amen.
Father, come to your people.
Amen.
Oh God, and break, oh God, the limitations that religion has set over the heavens of your people.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, let life begin to flow.
Amen.
As the ministry of the word and of the spirit begin to prosper in the midst of your people, O God.
Amen.
In the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you. We bless you again.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We'll be looking at the four pillars that hold the church. There are four pillars that hold the church. Hallelujah. In terms of the things that the church should be involved in, I call it the four cardinal doctrines. They are cardinal because without them, the church does not move. The church does not stand in its proper place. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus had to let them see that. So that in the face of every opposition and attacks of the enemy and every manner of thing that is coming upon them, they will be able to stand.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We read from verse 42. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are four cardinal pillars, I will call it, four cardinal things that hold the church together. Number one is apostles' doctrine. Number two is fellowship. Number three is breaking of bread. Number four is prayers. Anyway, prayers is subsumed with fasting and with praise and all that go with it. But these are the four elements that hold the church. Besides this, or besides these four cardinal pillars, every other thing that the church does is just a social activity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If the church departs from the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers, every other thing is religion. None of them will pass the test of time. None of them will be approved by God. So if you're in a place where they are having suya night, you are in a wrong place. If you are in a place where they are having music jamboree, you are in a wrong place. If you are in a place where they are doing fundraising to buy music instruments, you are in a wrong place. Or where they contribute money to build church, you are absolutely in the wrong place, and that is out of order. There are four things that hold the church together, and if we depart from this four, we begin to miss the mark. Politics will set in. Every manner of wickedness will come into the church.
Amen.
So that is why we need to know those four cardinal points, and not just knowing them. It should be part and parcel of everyday fellowship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when we begin to walk in them, I can give you 100% assurance that the devil will be far away from us. He said that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Why is it that the church seemed to be defeated? Why is it that the church seemed to have no power? Huh? They will bring the sick amongst us. Elders will recommend, take the person to the hospital. Why? Because the church has lacked power. Why is it that there are time to time the bouts of death come upon the church? The devil comes in our midst and snatches someone away. The church lacks no power. Hallelujah. To resist the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It's because we have departed from this four cardinal points. And I'm sure God is bringing this word to you. So establish the church in Ife to be strong, to be commendable, to stand in such a place that the devil will have no place. Rather, if an evil man comes into this church, he will run when no man is pursuing him, because the power of God will be present. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That is what we're talking about. Listen, the church must move away from just rhetoric. Too much talk. The church must be a church of power. He says that, I think it was Paul who saying that it's not come that the kingdom of God does not come by what? Observation. Hallelujah. But it comes what? In power. That is the church. And brethren, when a church is standing on this four strong pillars we are talking about, they begin to be a people of power. He says that in the day of his power, his people shall be willing. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's read from Acts chapter 2. From verse 42, he says, and they continued steadfastly. Hallelujah. I wish I could have a projector to look at the word steadfastly. Please, can you just tap on it? What does the word steadfastly mean?
Yeah, he said, at least you get
one. So, adhere to one. It means to adhere to one.
But for this song, you didn't
want. This is adhering to be devoted.
I was. It means
to continue all the time.
I was.
To persevere and not to fail.
And I guess you didn't want to move up.
To show one's self courageous. To be diligent, constantly diligent. Attend assiduously all the exercises. Adhere closely to. To wait on continually.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is the Greek interpretation of the word. Now, I did not put it there. You can agree with me, I did not put it there. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So they waited steadfast continually. They were devoted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 He said they continued steadfastly. In the what? Apostles what? Apostles what? Doctrine. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is number one. Number two, they continued in what again? And what? Fellowship. They continued in fellowship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number three, they continued in what? Breaking of bread. You are reading it yourself. I did not write it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They continued steadfastly on apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in what again? Prayers. Amen.
Amen.
Those are the four things. And I say, brethren, if any church worth its salt If you don't abide by this four cardinal points, you miss the mark. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, you can observe that the church has been practicing apostles' doctrine. We have been practicing fellowship. We have been practicing prayers. Is it not so? But you also observe that we really, on special occasion, is it not so? We break bread. Special occasion, special. When you just feel like it. When you have love feast. You just feel good. He break bread. Or when they feel, the devil has attacked us so much. We break bread. Anyway, from where you and I are coming from, it is a special occasion. It is only conducted, it's called Holy Communion. And for you to participate, you must be a communicant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I became a communicant November 1975. That was when I was allowed to take Holy Communion. The bishop came and put stick and knock it on my head. Boom. And they gave me certificate that I'm now a communicant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 All that is outside what the Bible says. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So it is now they permit me to participate in Holy Communion maybe once in a month. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And before you participate, you must make sure that your class fee is up to date. Do you know what they call class fee? You go for class every Friday evening and you pay your money. That money guarantees you that when you die, the church will come and bury you. It guarantees that you can participate in Holy Communion. It guarantees that you, in fact, registers your name as a member of that church. They can appoint you in committees and all that. But if you haven't been paying your class fee, you are not regarded as a member of that church. Anyway, that is by the way. Hallelujah. So even not talking about just the Anglican Church or Catholic Church and all those churches, even Pentecostal churches, they count it a special privilege to participate in the breaking of bread. So they advertise it that this Sunday is going to go with Holy Communion. Absolutely out of order. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 I'm saying this to begin to disabuse our mind. Because even the end time church, if they ever dare to, they begin to bring some coloration. Is the bread that we are going to break, is it leavened bread or unleavened bread? If it is not unleavened
bread,
no, don't. We cannot take it. That's all rubbish. We are going to see from the scripture. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Because we live in a time when God is wiping away our ignorance. The ignorance, the devil uses it to blindfold our eyes. So that our minds are not enlightened. So we remain ignorant. So that he will continue to panabit us. And hammer us. And kill us. Many die and sleep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But our eyes are beginning to be open. And that tells you, my brother, devil is in trouble. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because when the mind is enlightened, when we mean enlightened, we mean that when the mind receives light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Countless you know, the possibilities are limitless of where you can attain in God. And I believe that that is why God has been talking about life. That our minds need to be transformed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So let us look at those scriptures. Let's look at this. This practice is one after the other. And I'm saying here that because the church have just been on three, there is no church that can stand on three pillars. We have stood on apostles' doctrine, on fellowship, and on prayer. Hallelujah. And the church has been imbalanced. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Amen. Church life had come under too much stress. And individuals have come under too much stress. Hallelujah. And I'm believing that today, as God corrects that imbalance, you will see things begin to change in your own life. You will begin to change in the fellowship. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, there are places where this has been shared and brethren rejected. And when they rejected it,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Elders want to fight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. That is physical fight to box Amen. Themselves.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Because when you begin to break bread together,
Amen.
Something breaks.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Something gives way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You Amen. No longer will live your individualistic life. Hallelujah. Even in the natural, doesn't it happen? When we as families eat together, hallelujah, there is something. Let me tell you something. The physical act of eating and drinking together has a lot of spiritual implications. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, when I thought about it this morning, I said to myself, maybe I will stop eating my own food separately. My wife eating separately. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That the man will eat more meat than yourself. Don't just be afraid. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Even if he does that, there is something that is being transmitted. Love is going through, permeating. We are eating it in love. I'm cheating you in love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There is something about eating and drinking. It has a lot of spiritual consequences. Hallelujah. Amen. Even in the physical. When the man, if they have been eating together, and this particular day the man said, listen, give me my own food, you know that something has gone wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we break bread together, we are going to get into it. I'm only trying to prepare your mind. Hallelujah. There is something that begins to work for elders cannot be fighting themselves. Brethren will not, even though they'll quarrel. Is a family thing? Is it not so?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We reconcile. There is no family that has not had misunderstanding. There is no husband and wife that do not have misunderstanding. Hallelujah. But when they come, we resolve. And we move on. The undoing of an outsider is to come and say, see them, they are having quarrel all the time. Go and touch one of them and see what will happen. You will remember, you will know that that quarrel did not go down. Hallelujah. Somebody is bound to want to defend the other one. You want to touch my wife? You what do you want? Who do you think you are? Hallelujah. Why? Because there is something that is being transmitted. Hallelujah. There is something that is between them. Hallelujah. Brethren, as we are here together, there is a circuit that is running through us. There is something that is moving through us. There is something. Hallelujah. And if there is anything you can ever live to remember, is that the blood of Yeshua is running through us. Hallelujah. Amen. The life of God is running through us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when it's going that way, he says that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So let us not play around our coming together. God is expecting that we don't take some part of the doctrine and we leave some. He wants us to walk all of them together. Let them walk into our consciousness. Let them walk into our being. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Number two, because the church, or number three, the church has left. But when the church leaves this practice and taking those other three and leaving this other one, there is a gap that exists. And that gap, the enemy knows it. He recognizes it. And he comes in that gap. Hallelujah. And begin to attack us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But today we are going to close up every breach. Every opening must be closed. Every door must be shut. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that the church can move on together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I will take my time. Well, okay. Let us finish that scripture because it helps us to establish. It says, verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. Hallelujah. Because the church was fully practicing this. It was a daily experience. He said, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. And had all things what? Common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you can read between the lines here. Number one, because these four things are in full swing. Hallelujah. There was so much care, love and compassion one for another. They were able to know the individual needs of each and every one in the church. You know, most of the time, we operate from the fact that I know what your need is by when I come to your house or when you tell me. Hallelujah. But there is a realm that the church comes to. Hallelujah. There is a revelation of what individual needs are by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 I know that from time to time we get into it. Is it not so? A brother comes to your house. He drops an envelope. And the envelope he drops in your house is exactly the amount you needed, you never told anyone. Is it not so? He said, but how did he know? He knew by the Spirit. Hallelujah. When the church is knitted together, revelations come. There is so much care one for another. You just say there is a press in your spirit that this brother has a need or he's going through a situation that he needs an intervention from God. Hallelujah. That revelation only comes by the Spirit. And it comes when the heart of the people are together. Knitted together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think for now, it comes once in a while. It's a flash in the pan. Amen.
Amen.
But we are coming to a place where we will know all things. We will understand all things. It says that the man who is spiritual does what? Discerneth all things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I remember those days when we got married. As we got married, my house rent in Lagos then was, I still remember, how much was it then? I think it was about 600 naira or so for a 3-bedroom flat. See, all of you have kept quiet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 My salary was about 300 and something or 400 naira. A graduate. Hallelujah. With that 400, those days you can buy a Beetle. So don't think it's a small money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But suddenly, by the time my rent was ending, my landlord increased it to 1,008. When he did that, I said, God. Me, I panic when I hear about big money. I panicked. I went to the office. I quickly applied for salary advance. You know, that was when they add that. My wife wasn't working then. Hallelujah. Or she was working. Okay, but if you put all our salary together, it means that we will not eat for some time. Hallelujah. So I made my own mental arithmetic, trying to work it out. Hallelujah. Amen. And the church in Lagos then, we're in our embryonic stage, you understand? We're still developing. We haven't really come to understand what the body is all about. So it was every man on his own, and God for us all. But there are those who also understood, who were walking in a dimension of the spirit that was tolerable at that particular time.
Amen.
Amen. So when I applied, you have to pass it through your director and then to the MD, and then by the time they did that, okay, they eventually approved it. Which means I was going to get 800 and something naira. You know, and by the time my wife will add her, we'll take from there and add, we'll be able to pay. But God overtook all that. One day I came back from work, opened the door, and I saw an envelope on the floor. I picked it. It was exactly 1,008. With a note. I believe that your rent is expired. Use this and pay your house rent. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And we paid. You know, my life has been filled with a lot of miracles. Hallelujah. May your life be filled with miracles. You don't need to go to all those places and chase miracles. Your life becomes a miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. You wake up each morning, you wake up in miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my God. And I'm telling you that the faith church will begin to work in miracles. He said that. He said nations will begin to chase you. He said, let us hold your garment. Let us answer your name. Hallelujah. Amen. So I used that and I paid. The one I took from the company became a bonus. I said, now we have to go and buy a gas cooker. Hallelujah. Amen. We're just beginning our family, no children yet. If I tell you what we went through, you know, together, hallelujah. You know that God was preparing us for such a time. Whatever you are going through right now, God is preparing you for a time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So that was that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there was so much love in their midst. They were working together. There was cohesion. There was togetherness. They were bearing one another's burden. Hallelujah. Now listen. You guys, you live in an environment where there is so much hatred. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Acquired bombites. Naturally, you guys hate yourself. True or false? On the natural. You people are very, very diplomatic people. You laugh at yourself, but in your heart, So look at him. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as the word of God comes to you, God is going to strip you of a firebomb spirit. Hallelujah. You will never know whether the man is from Etinam or he's from Anan or from Uyo.
Amen.
Your heart will begin to be knit together. You will begin to bear one another's body together. Hallelujah. If one person is touched, the whole body is touched. Hallelujah. And the whole body begins to march down. Hallelujah. When it gets very tough, you tell the body. The body says, who was that? Who dare touch the Lord's anointed? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the devil is quashed and destroyed. Amen. Praise God. So we are saying, brethren, that for this brethren in Acts, there was so much love, so much care one for another, so much concern. It was so much, that some of them sold their possessions. Hallelujah. And brought to the church to distribute to every need. There was no one of them that was in need or lack. Their needs were met. Because the church was there. How dare you see your brethren suffer? And then you shut your door of compassion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 A new generation is coming forth. In Ike. Hallelujah. A new people coming forth. New people coming forth. Those two babies. New people coming forth. Hallelujah. Coming forth. In newness of life. Now what I'm telling you is not something that you don't know. The other side of Ikpe. Hallelujah. I was there. Hallelujah. Is it not so? How many of you knew me then? How many of you knew me? Okay. We were there. Brethren will come to that side. And we'll stay praying. There was such oneness, is it not so? Hallelujah.
Amen.
If I remember that time, I feel like crying. There was so much compassion one for another. Bearing one another's burden. Many people used to come from all parts of the country. So Ikpe, from Benin, from Kaduna, they will come to seek the Lord in Ikpe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you see what the devil has done. And he says that he's bringing it back. Hallelujah. The days are back. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We came that time in 1994. And we came to do the yeoman's job, hard church job. We came and cleansed the place. Because that was when witches began to invade the church. We came and when we finished it, on our way back in Benin, our car had been assaulted 5 times. I was driving. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he could do me no harm. He didn't do any of us any harm. Hallelujah. Nobody died. Everybody survived. The car was a write-off. But we all survived. Hallelujah. That day is back here now. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we are not just talking stories. We are talking about the power of God being present in the people. When they begin to walk in the things that the Lord has said. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said that they continued. Verse 36 said they continued. They continued from house to house. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And as they did that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They did it in singleness of heart. If you understand what the word singleness of heart means, it means that they were so broken. Brokenness. They had feeling one for another. Hallelujah. Compassion for one another. They were seeing the same thing. Hallelujah. And God was dealing with their self factor. God was dealing with their flesh factor. God was dealing with their carnal nature. Why the church is not growing is that there is so much dominance of flesh. Hallelujah. So much selfishness, so much self-centeredness, so much self-love, so much self-preservation, everything self. That is what is in the church today. And that is why the enemy has taken advantage of that. Hallelujah. And created division in our midst. And created offenses in our midst. And created contentions in our midst. Therefore, many are dying. Many are sick. Hallelujah. Amen. But a new church is emerging that will deal with all these things. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Not only that, you know, when we begin to walk in this dimension, you know what will happen? He says that, look at verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily as such that should be saved. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
They weren't going out for evangelism. The church, the whole church, was involved in evangelism. I don't know whether you understand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The church become an evangelistic church by the things they are doing. Hallelujah. People
Amen.
Just people walking to be saved.
Amen.
Like some are here now this morning.
Amen.
We are just watching. Number one is that they have seen that the way they used to sing in my church is not the way these people sang.
Before.
They are still watching. The way this brother. Okay, at their level, you say, this man of God, the way he's preaching this morning, it's not the way they used to preach in our church. He's still waiting. Maybe later they will now make an altar call. And they pray for some people. Not the way they used to pray in our church. And the man will sit down that, this is where I belong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not telling you a story. There's a brother like that. He came. And ministry was going on. And somebody shared something about his life. He said, come on. How can a minister of God be exposing his whole family like this to the congregation? And I have never heard it like this before. This is where I belong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because there is nothing to hide. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the people were ardent. Every time they came, they saw the power of God moving. They saw oneness. They saw love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they said, I'm going nowhere. Goodbye.
Amen.
Huh? Goodbye. Not the world. Goodbye, Catholic Church. Goodbye, Anglican Church. Goodbye, Pentecost. I am not going there anymore. Hallelujah. Because I've now seen a new thing that the Lord was doing. But when the Lord is doing a new thing, He was just the way He did it in Acts. He is going to do it here. Every day when we come together, something new begins to happen. Something fresh comes out of the throne of God. And the people are refreshed and blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There are a few things I will skip. I wanted to show us. Maybe I'll take one or two of them. Types and shadows of breaking of bread.
Well,
hallelujah. But before I do that, before I talk about breaking of bread in particular, a church must move according to apostolic doctrine. An apostolic doctrine means that you must have apostolic vision. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. If you don't have apostolic vision, which emanates from apostolic doctrine, you have nothing to follow. You have no basis to move on as a people. You have nothing to ginger you to move forward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Apostolic doctrine is the foundation. I will also say that is the pillar that holds the church. If you remove apostolic doctrine, the church will collapse. The church will miss the mark. The church will not perform. The church will not arrive at each destination, apostolic doctrine is what holds us together. And the apostolic vision establishes where a man is going. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. If you don't have a vision of where you are going, you go nowhere. Huh? You will just be wandering. Just be fooling around. Hallelujah. You know, the children of Israel, they had that problem. Many of them were follow. And for 40 years, they were roaming in the wilderness. But there was a clear vision of where they are going. He said they are going to a land that flows with what? Milk and honey. Many of them did not understand that. So because they did not understand that, one little trouble, they begin to complain. So look at you, Moses. You have brought us in this wilderness to kill us. And they began to quarrel with Moses. And Moses was also overtaken by their own reaction. And he too. Oh my God. Hallelujah, brother Moses. Hallelujah, brother Moses. Hallelujah. God looked at him and said, you, I love you so much. Oh. But you see that land? Just come. Look at it. Say, you are seeing it. You are not entering. You can only see it, but you will not enter. I know what God did. God took him and buried him himself. God buried Moses. No, he said that no man knows where he was buried. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to be buried like Moses. I want to see it. I want to enter. Brethren, we must enter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want to wander around and around in the wilderness. Beaten by the weather. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you understand. Your shoe now has alignment. Bent, walking around in the wilderness. Yeah, your clothes are the tatters. Naked. Managing. So after I have been through all these experiences, then I will not enter. I don't agree. I must enter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So your suffering is part of the credentials you have to be able to enter. Hallelujah. Look, let me tell you, brethren, suffering, tribulation, affliction, they are not disadvantaged issues. They are not making you disadvantaged or lesser human beings. Rather, God is using them to build up your spiritual muscle, build up your strength so that you'll be able to enter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what the mark of Christ. You know what Paul said? He said that I may know him and the fellowship of his what? Suffering. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
That I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. And being conformable to his what? Death. So the sufferings of, he said that, I think it was Peter. He said that this present suffering is not able to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Paul said that.
Amen.
Amen. So brethren, this wilderness, count it joy that you are in the wilderness. Because it is time when God begins to exercise you. Deuteronomy says that he has to pass them through that. So that he will truly know what is in their heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So it is a time, a glorious time for the church. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So let's just take another one. It's just about fellowship.
Okay.
I'm just mentioning it briefly, you know. But where we are going, hallelujah, is to address this one lacking factor in the church. So I just want to take time to talk briefly on apostolic doctrine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, I feel I should explain more about apostolic doctrine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
A church must know what God is saying to them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, what he's saying to them is not necessarily what he's telling one man. I don't know whether you understand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some people build their ministries, and this somebody told me, that Chris Oyakhilome, his own ministry is in healing. He said that Oyedepo, his own ministry is in prosperity, making people rich. Adeboye, I don't know whether his own is in church planting. Yeah? What? What is Adeboye's own? Anybody knows? Okay. Praise God. So they attribute all this, and they say that that is the vision that the man has. That is not the vision. That was in time past. When we talk about vision, we are talking about where you are going. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Where are you going? Okay. You are end time church. Is that right? You don't know what you are anymore. You are end time church, are you not? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So the question is, where is end time church going? Whose vision are you following? Hallelujah. Are you following God's vision or you are following man's vision? Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Because you must decide that. That is what is going to govern and control your life. If you don't, he said, if the people have no vision, what happens? The people perish without a vision. If you don't have a vision, you are in trouble. Because that is what you wake up each day, you eat and drink. And what all your life is hovering around the vision you have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I can tell you what the vision is without mincing words. Not my words. He says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. That is the vision. If anybody will ask you, our young people, what is your vision? He said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. It means that man will be like God. Man will become one with God. God will talk and walk in them. That is the vision. Anything other than this, forget it. Hallelujah. The vision is not ultimately, the devil will be
conquered.
It's not a vision. The vision is not, you are God. That is not the vision. Hallelujah. Amen. The vision is that I become one with my Maker. Why? Because from the origin, from the very beginning of the journey, he said he breathed into man. And he became what? A living soul. Man is a part of God. God is a part and parcel of God. So man is going back to where he came from. And going up the ladder. Hallelujah. That is the vision. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That is why when you begin to move on in God, you begin to make progress, you begin to move up the ladder, your life never remains the same. My life is transformed because when I'm going up the ladder, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Coming to fellowship is part of climbing the ladder. I don't know whether you know that. Anytime you come to fellowship, there is something about your humanity that God chips off. That gives way. Anytime you come in fellowship with the brethren, something in you is changed. I said, you may not know it. You may not know it. Because he says that he has hid the word in their heart. That no man knoweth what he doeth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 That brings me to talk about fellowship. Fellowship is very, very vital. Don't deceive yourself. You cannot be in your house and have this fellowship. Hallelujah. Some people say, no, I'm satisfied. I'll be in my house. I don't need the brethren. It's a lie. You need the brethren. The scripture says, let's not do what? Forsake the assembling of ourselves what? Together. I had friends in Lagos. Oh my God, they said, no, we don't need all this fellowship. I stay in my house and commune with my God. I don't want to associate with anybody. If there is anybody like that here, I promise you, just get ready. In the next 7 days, you'll be boxed to a corner and the devil will hit you. And you have nobody to call. That is not fellowship. Fellowship means I'm sharing my life with you. You are sharing your life with me. That is what fellowship is all about. The Greek word is called koinonia. Koinonia means that I'm distributing, I'm sharing, I'm receiving, I am giving, and you are receiving. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Some of us, there is some people have built doctrine around it. And they feel that what fellowship is all about. Just wait at the end of the fellowship. The offering box should be opened. And whatever is there, just distribute it to the brethren. The doctrine of distribution and contribution. That's what they call it. That is a lie. That's not what the scripture says. And that wasn't what these people were practicing here. Hallelujah. Amen. Rather, they were distributing and contributing to one another's well-being. They were exchanging life together. They were distributing life. And they were contributing life. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm quoting 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. That every joint does what? Supply. Hallelujah. There was a distribution of life. Every man come prepared to bring forth that which the Lord has deposited in him. And he comes, he lays it on the table. And brethren begin to eat. He says that we are one bread. And we eat of one another. That is what fellowship is all about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I move fast. And then I talk a little bit about prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, one of the things that fellowship does is that it's a time to communicate. It's a time. Hallelujah. You cannot come and you are an island unto yourself. You know, there are people that come to church, nobody knows them. They just stay on their own. Immediately they say the grace. They're already on their bike and they run home. That is not fellowship. Nobody knows where you live. You cannot share anything with anybody. Huh? You say that is how I am. You know, I'm a reserved person. Reserved for what? Hallelujah. You are not reserved nothing. One demon of shyness is troubling you. And the church needs to bind it and cast it out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But a fellowship means we are naked one with another. We open up our hearts. Our homes are opened. I shouldn't be coming to your house and I'm afraid whether you will receive me or not. No, that is not fellowship. Hallelujah. I must come knowing that my brother lives here. Hallelujah. And that he's going to receive me. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, while in Lagos, I visited a family. It's a condominium, very high-rise building. After I've done all that stretch, getting to the door, press bell. One of the ladies came out. This is a place I used to go. In fact, I worked for them for a few months. Immediately I opened the door. We don't want to see you here again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that was the end. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your case might not be like my own. Your case might be that we'll tap at the door. Your house help comes out. I say they are asleep. They don't want to be disturbed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is not fellowship. But then we need to change our orientation. Fellowship is beyond these four walls here. Fellowship is beyond our gathering together here. Fellowship should be house to house. Hallelujah. When we meet house to house, we are able to share. Brother OS is able to ask me, Brother Isaac, how are you coping now? The other day, I saw you pushing your car. I'm always pushing car, brother. I don't know what. I have one good mechanic. He has worked for brother Susu, and he maintained this type of your car. He did it, and the problem was over. That is fellowship. Hallelujah. It's not only when we carry Bible and begin to preach. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let our mentality of fellowship begin to change. We must look out for one another's welfare. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Fellowship means you just come back. You see one of the old women. Hallelujah. You know that the son is not doing very well, struggling. You can buy half bag of rice and go and drop it. That is fellowship. Hallelujah. But then let us change in our fellowship attitude. We are not doing very well. This church in Ipe is not doing very well. Every man is struggling. Every man just for himself. But God is saying, stop struggling for yourself. Hallelujah. Look out for the welfare of your brethren. And as you do that, He's going to bless you. Open your heart. Give out liberally. Bless people. Even though out of your little and meager salary or whatever you have, you are giving out. And brethren are being blessed. Hallelujah. You see, like, the oil of the cruise of oil will never fail. Hallelujah. Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then we'll talk about prayer. You know all these things I'm saying, we haven't even gotten into the message yet. Hallelujah. We haven't even started. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm like Brother Ebere. I will stand here for 3 hours. Hallelujah. Amen. So prayers was one of those fundamental things that they were involved in. Hallelujah. They prayed and they fasted. Hallelujah. They were involved in supplication. Prayer has different levels. There is supplication. There is intercession. There is prayer. Hallelujah. There is praise. There is worship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Even when you talk about prayers, there are also prayers of warfare. Hallelujah. There is the one that come when the spirit begins to move. We take the devil and we pieces him. We take Leviathan and we cut him into pieces. We send the women to go and boil it. And we eat it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know whether you understand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Leviathan becomes our meat. Hallelujah. They cannot dare. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, some of you, I just want to take a little part. Some of you, you pray. You pray like your forefathers pray. Where they handle the things of God, they say, don't pray out loud. It's you and your God. Just commune in one corner. That era left long time ago. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning I was praying in the hotel room. Where Chijoka and the wife heard me. They were asking, what is the matter? I said, there is no matter. There is no matter. The matter is that the lion came and took my meat. I want to go and take it back. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I shout so that the devil will hear me clearly. Let him not be confused of what I said. Let him hear me loud and clear that my family is out of bounds. Hear me out of bounds. Hear me clearly that anything that belongs belongs to me that you have. You must return it. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I don't want to wait until when I'm going to die. I want it back now. Hallelujah. So I shout it all. That is why you see your brother always shouting. Because there is something he has taken, he needs to return. Hallelujah. I will shout it the more. If you like, criticize me that this brother shouts him. I will keep on shouting. Because one man, the devil so oppressed him. Every day, because of his condition, he was on the roadside begging. But one day, he just had a wind that Jesus was passing. The man started shouting. He said, "Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He was shouting. Other people who were quiet prayer, who always were quiet prayer meeting, told him to keep quiet. That is disturbing them. The Bible said he shouted the more. So I will shout the more. Let me tell you, brethren, in this environment, don't keep quiet, oh. Shout it on the housetop, oh. Let the devil hear and know. Let the witches around you hear and know. And some of you don't even pray in tongues. That is another wahala. It's another trouble. How can you be baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues? What sort of doctrine is that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I used to have that kind of doctrine. That speaking on tongues is not for the church.
Huh?
You know, some of you don't know Scripture Union. There was one man who was a strong Scripture Union man in London. He's called John Stott. I read his books and I felt, oh no. All this thing about baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, is not for us in this time and generation. But one day, bam, my eyes opened. Your eyes will be opened today to realize that you don't pray quiet prayer anymore. Hallelujah. There are times when we pray quiet prayers. Hallelujah. There are those who pray quiet prayers and it works for them. I'm not saying that you are wrong. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you must shout like me. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is that we have come to a point where we must pray, where we must declare our stand to the devil, where we must speak to the gates and say, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be you lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." I'm speaking to the youth. When I was your age, so I'm telling you that my shouting did not start today. It's not because I'm preaching that I'm shouting. Men used to hear my voice. And right from the day people knew me, they know Isaac shouts. When he prays, he shouts. When I shout, I must vibrate the environment.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our young people learn to pray out loud. My children are encouraged and I say, pray out loud. All this your beggarly type of prayer is not allowed. It's not allowed. Every time we are begging us. Why can you be begging for what is your own right? Your father has given it to you. Why are you begging? Listen, I will not beg the devil. I take it by force. He says that the men of violence take it what? By force. This is the generation that must take it by force. Equal brethren, rise up and take it by force. There is a place in God for you to take it by force. Hallelujah. Praise God. So prayers come in different dimensions. We are maybe that is another weekend teaching. We'll talk about prayer. If God says that there is a need for that, it will be addressed. But for today, we are just looking at these four pillars. And like I have said, yes, to some extent, we have tried to establish apostolic doctrine. Some people are working in the apostolic vision. We have the fellowship life. We have prayer life. But we don't have the breaking of bread life. We don't have it as part of our lives. We don't have it as part of our system. And that is why many of us die. Many of us are sick. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So if you look at Exodus 12, you will see that there was something called Passover there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, to some extent, two vital things were involved. The number one thing that was involved there was the blood.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I will just point it out. We'll just show the significance. And we'll move on. We'll not go into details about that. If you read from verse 5 to 8, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night and roast it with fire, and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now there are three things that we can get from that scripture. Is it not so? One, the blood was sprinkled, was smeared on the two side posts, and on the upper frame. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know what the door represents. Door is access. It gives access. Is it not so? Without the door, you cannot enter into a place. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we also have the flesh eaten, roast with fire. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So the flesh is eaten. Amen. Then he said that there is unleavened bread, eating with bitter herbs. Those are the three elements there. But we can quickly summarize this. Like I said, without going into much detail. One thing, why this was done, why this eating and whatever that they did, hallelujah, was to do what? Have you read that scripture before? It was to keep away what? Death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to note that. That is one of the benefits of breaking of bread. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So they ate it. Bread is involved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And blood is involved. And flesh is involved. And bitter herbs is involved. But that is that. Just go again to Exodus 24. Exodus 24. I will take time to read 1 to 11. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we together? And I'm sure my shouting does not send anybody to sleep. That is why I shout, too, so that you will not sleep. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near. That is, the rest shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all these words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel and offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings, hallelujah, of oxen unto the Lord. Hallelujah. We will not go into too much explanation about burnt offering and peace offering. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the scripture, the Bible is complete. Burnt offering speaks about your offering of your whole self. Peace offering talks about fellowship. Hallelujah. Sharing our lives one with another. Laying down our lives one for another. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's go on. Hallelujah. Where are we now? Verse 5. And he sent young men of children of Israel, and which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. Hallelujah. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord had made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. Hallelujah. 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 And there was under his feet as it were a paved walk of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hands. Also they saw God and did eat and drink.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Ye Aaron, ye Nadab, ye Abihu, ye Mbiowe Israel Atayego, Mbufo Yung Eda, Mutansan, Etwaribo. Then Moses is going from any sign of Pere Jehovah, and the Mueke Nekusa Hyperet, Mbioro, the Bunyan Sene, and ye Roke Moses and Mankukuri called Jehovah, ye Kukuru Merita Mimi, and the editing on Kukuru. Then Kukuru Wepon, who you created, Yiliana Kukuru, the Koemi Jehovah, and all it. Then Moses said, "We put record Jehovah. Only my back, Abba, get the miracles and over. And I'm with you. I can't go to God. Yendara, go ever. I came, send Israel to ever. Then any other one, but I want to tell Israel. Then my fuck, it is for over. Anyway, we're away, man. Okay, Ena, Ena, Jehovah. Then Moses said, 'Our body, you can listen to the person. Only my dad, our body, you make a lesson gate to over. Then any man, where did you make it?'" Then my daughter, Yanam, in your eco book, who said for about our end, then most of the time you were raising a book provoking them at the say, you bet your me, Emmy Jehovah, the Medea Mufonte, book required me edited. Edited most of the time of your error. Yanadab, your people, your view is well at your door. Then more echo about Israel, then bought when you came to our goods. They sent them. Boy, Elam, the guest sapphire. When you must an ante, the mayor, then a year men go back to see two people for Israel. When you could have us, and you may be on your
own. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. There is no time to talk about this scripture.
But
one thing was very clear, that the people could not come near until the blood was sprinkled. Did you see that from that scripture? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that we are coming by the new earth and living way. Hallelujah. So the blood of sprinkling, is it not so? Hallelujah.
Amen.
The blood, that's what gives you access into the presence of God. Just as the blood is put here, you have access. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two was that these people, Nadab, Moses, Nadab and Abihu and the rest of them and the 70 elders, they have fellowship. They had fellowship. Hallelujah. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Number three was that there was a giving of the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 In other words, that was the doctrine, is it not so? The apostolic doctrine was given. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Not only that, there was a revelation. A revelation of God. I'm not the one that wrote it,
though.
Verse 11 said, and they saw God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Brethren, when we come together, the purpose of our coming together is to see God, is to behold God, is to behold the glory of God. And finally, the scripture says that they did eat and what? Hallelujah. So you can see that there was something that they did eat and did drink. In other words, they broke bread. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So in my notes, I always put a little mark. I said, I asked myself, what did they eat and drink? Do you want to know what they did? You want to know what they ate? You didn't want to know?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know what Jesus said? He said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, that you have no life in you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But that is the essence of fellowship. That is the essence why we gather together. If there is no eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, we do not have life in us. Amen. I want to stop there for because of time. There are more references in 2 Samuel. There are references in 1 Kings 19. You can take it and go and read. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But let us look at what are the consequences and benefits of breaking of bread. Hallelujah. Just turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I hope we are together. So what we have just finished doing is to show the types. Are there types beside in the New Testament about breaking of bread? Are there other types in the Old Testament? So we have mentioned the issue of Passover. We have mentioned the issue of the Moses and the 70 elders. And there is even the issue of Elijah and the juniper under the juniper tree. There are things there that will show you that these are types and shadows as we have them in the Old Testament. Amen. So we are looking at consequences and benefits. And when we say consequences, when you don't do it, are there implications? That's what we're saying. When I do it, are there benefits I have? Hallelujah. That's what I want to read from John chapter 6. Go to verse
48.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said, I will read from there to 64. He said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you eat this bread, you will not die. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And he says that he is this bread. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then he said, I am the living bread. It's not just bread. He has to qualify the bread. That is a living bread. Are you with me? I want you to listen very carefully because we are getting into some bit of technical area. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you say that something is living, what do you mean? You mean that it has life, is it not so? What does it mean to have life? I'm asking you, answer me. What does it mean to have life? Okay, that is one. In other words, it has flesh. Amen. What other thing? What is it? Only flesh that makes it living? What makes it living? Blood. Hallelujah. So he says that I am the living bread. In other words, on a literal sense, the bread has flesh and has blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 You know what he told them? He told Thompson. Is it Thompson? Thomas.
Thomas.
He told Thomas something.
Thomas.
He said, does a spirit have what?
Flesh.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He touched something. He said, dip your hand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is it. Flesh and blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
On the converse, he said, flesh and blood shall not do what? Amen. Enter. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So, this is what you are eating. He says it's living bread. You are eating life. And that was why he said that, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, that you are a dead man. Hallelujah.
Opens your eyes.
Hallelujah. We'll come to that one. But you need to understand the principles. But when you understand the principle, then you are free. Now, we're not talking about those rubbish they used to give to us in Catholic Church. They give, in fact, with the coming of Ebola, there was trouble.
Hallelujah.
I don't know how they said that there's a pattern they now adopted.
Individualized cup.
The individualized cup, yes. Hallelujah. So that we will not give anybody Ebola. No, now wait, now let us finish first. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm saying it so that you know the essence. Because it is at this point that many people really get confused. What you are eating is symbolic. But they say that, Catholics say that when you eat it, that is the real flesh of Jesus and that is the blood. That is a wrong doctrine. It's called the doctrine of transubstantiation. It's wrong. Are we together? What you are eating is a symbol. Hallelujah. And let me throw in something here. When we gather together as the people of God, I've been shouting it loud and clear. Anytime, even in your privacy, in your home, you are eating. That is why it is good to pray over your food. My dear, when once you pray over your food, the things that kill the children of disobedience, the diseases of Egypt is driven out of your food. I don't believe I will eat the food I have laid my hands and prayed over, and then I will eat cancer. It's a lie. Unless I don't believe that the word of God is true. Hallelujah. Now, that does not mean I have to be careless. I am mindful of the things I eat. Amen. That they are decent and they are in appropriate quantity. I see some of you here, they give you a heap of paper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's good to eat. But be careful that you don't eat and you begin to endanger your body. But first of all, before you touch that food, pray over it. Much more when we gather as the people of God and we are eating together. I don't believe we will eat together and I will go home and have a running tummy. It is not possible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because as long as we prayed, The blood of Jesus goes over it. Every germ and every poison die. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because some of us were in an attitude of when once we come back from work, when the thing is, the hunger is making us crazy. Immediately the wife serves the food, bam, you bounce on it. You wouldn't even remember to pray. It's when you have thrown a few balls into your mouth, your eye is clear, don't remember. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray over your food. And no harm shall come near you. Brethren, the bread that will break has life in it. I don't want to use the word has the potential. It doesn't. It has life in it. It is a living reality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I think that Paul caught that revelation. He caught that mystery. We are going to look into it. Hallelujah. Sorry. Hallelujah. It's okay. Amen. So here we are. Hallelujah. From verse 51. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now some people began to ask him questions. They said, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Hallelujah. They want to go into theology and start asking. This thing that the Lord is doing is beyond theology. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He said, then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Hallelujah. Say, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. If we partake of this life. Now, because we are moving between the natural to the spiritual, is it not so? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
When we begin to participate and begin to eat the life that is in the body and the blood that is flowing in the body, we receive life. Amen. That is why you cannot abscond or absent yourself from fellowship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Brethren, in our breaking bread together, we have a promise of life. Not just of life. We also have a promise of resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me touch you a little bit. Because there are some people here who believe as we are driving down, he said, Rapture Trust Church. Have you seen that church before?
Yes.
On the road. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. There is nothing like rapture. How many of you are shocked that we are saying that one? Okay, you know it already. Don't take it for granted though. There are some that don't know. Hallelujah. They will be in the church, fellowship with us for many years, and yet they hold to that doctrine of devil. There is nothing called rapture. Hallelujah. That one day, you will hear one trumpet, and then you will fly. You are going nowhere, my brother. We are all here. No flying away. You are growing no wings nowhere. We shall be here. Hallelujah. What we have in the scripture is a promise of resurrection. Hallelujah. Go through your scripture. The Bible says by the witness of two or three, every word is what? is established. In other words, if you have only one witness, that word is not established. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go through your scriptures. Maybe you have been interpreting it upside down. There is no one single place where we have a promise that we are going to fly away. Words have been manipulated to mean that it is rapture, but it is not. Caught up with him in the air does not tell me about rapture. That one will be sleeping and the other one taking. You don't understand it. You misinterpreted it. We don't have time. But if you want to know, I'm sure you can meet one or two people. Look at that scripture critically. Brother Ebere will be staying back. The responsibility is on him now to explain to you. Go and meet him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. When we break bread together, we have an assurance that we are in him and he in us. It's a promise of that vision, of the apostolic vision, that a day is coming that we are going to be one with him. The breaking of bread establishes that doctrine. Hallelujah. Verse 58 said, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He said, this thing said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, you know what they said? They said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Even at that point, some of them, they ran away. They departed. They are no longer his disciples. Hallelujah. I hope you are aware that the disciples of Jesus were not limited to the 12 alone. Hallelujah. The people, crowd that were following him were also disciples. So some of them, when they heard it, they said, this thing is hard. This thing is hard. It's difficult. Who can hear it? How can a human being be bread, living bread for us to eat? How can we be eating his flesh? That is cannibalism. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So some of them, because of that, they ran away. Hallelujah. But
amen.
I remember he asked Peter in one place. He said, you, will you also run away? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, how can? I will never run away. I know that thou, you have the word of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. No man that eats of this flesh and drink of his blood that will ever run away. I don't know whether you understand. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you about saved and saved forever. No. I'm telling you that if you truly have eaten of his flesh and drank his blood, and you have this apostolic vision running in your veins and doing the things that he has said, there is no way you will come. And at the very last time, you depart and run away. He says that if you dare it, that man is doing what? That he's crucifying the Lord back and again on the cross. In fact, that his state will be worse than when he first began. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let us stop playing around with the breaking of bread. Hallelujah. Let me have a little tissue. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That it is not a child's play. You know, some people think that when we break bread, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we together? Amen. Some of us think that when we break bread, we are giving you refreshment. Hallelujah. It's not refreshment. Hallelujah. Don't come with that mental attitude that it is refreshment. It is refreshment time. We are going to have breaking of bread. Hallelujah. You know, So you're not the one who have that kind of attitude. The Corinthian Christians had that kind of attitude. Some of them said, oh, today, say Brother Paul will be around. So if he's around, there will be breaking of bread. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know what they did? So we'll make sure that they drag the bread to themselves. Because there was a lot of camp in their midst. Are you following me? It's an interesting picture. Well, because of what I read, I can always picturize some of their actions. Some group of people, they will seize the bread. And another one will seize the wine. Confusion has started. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he said, come. Why are you people so carnally minded? Look, if you have need for any invest in your house, don't come here and begin to drag wine and drag bread. Hallelujah. Amen. Bread, this flesh and blood we're talking about, it is not entertainment. It is not a refreshment. It is very life of God. And there is no how you can be living in division, in strife and contention, and you want to eat of this thing. It will not work. Rather, the man is eating to damnation. In summary, there are consequences of eating this thing, of eating this bread and the wine. There are also benefits. In summary, that is what we are trying to establish here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just read down that little verse. He said, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What an if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. Hallelujah. Brother Chizuka, are you with us? What of if you will begin to behold the mysteries of God? Of moving up. Of the Son of Man going up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, it is the spirit,
the spirit of
that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who were the way that believe not and who should betray him. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are some of us that don't believe. End time church. They don't believe that we are missing out something. That we are missing out the issue of breaking of bread as part of the cardinal pillar that holds the church together. I said I've shared this in some fellowship. And they are still today, they are arguing about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Not me. The word of God vindicates itself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's one proverb in my place. They say, if you give me a message to go and give a rich man, I will give him the message. But if you tell me to go and carry his corpse, I will not carry it. Do you understand that? In other words, the messenger should just deliver his message and remove his hand. Whatever the man does with it is entirely in his hand. I'm only a messenger. God just showed it to me and I shared it. And I tell you, right from the day we shared it in our fellowship, brethren, we have been doing it here today. And we have reaped life out of it.
Amen.
The day we began to break bread, many things were judged.
Amen.
Those who were not with us, they abstained. Some even departed completely because they were not with us from the beginning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Death stopped happening. Hallelujah. Even when it will happen, we know. Hallelujah. It's the church that will release the one to go. I don't think you understand this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of us was very sick.
Oh, was
very, very sick. Our prayers held her until she began to complain. Hallelujah. That she wants to go. The church had to release her. The Lord will give up this. Hallelujah. Because we know that this one has worked with you. When you break bread together, there is nothing like sudden death. You better know it. Let it sink into your mind. That is one day a brother gets up and dies. It is not possible. I say it's not possible. You don't want to say amen. I have been in a congregation where a sister, that is in church service, a sister got up and fainted. She thought it was a joke. She died. I went for the burial. It will not happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are saying that these things, begin to take them seriously. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every manner of oppression is judged when the people of God begin to break bread together. Poverty is judged. You are not saying amen.
Amen.
I thought I have shown it from the scripture. Is it not so? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said that everybody had plenty. Some even sold and brought. Everybody, there was no lack. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So breaking of bread has a lot of consequences. It has a lot of benefits. Let the church begin to integrate it as part of our fellowship life. And you see that life begin to grow. Hallelujah. Revelations begin to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's take another scripture. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think I have tried to mention the benefits. Hallelujah. His blood gives life. We have eternal life. We are guaranteed of resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And the flesh and the blood contain all the ingredients that the body needs to sustain itself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, we are sustained by what we eat. So if you eat of the flesh of Jesus and drink of his blood, you are sustained by it. Your blood, your body is sustained by it. Hallelujah. Instead of growing old, your days are renewed like the eagle. People will be asking, don't you ever grow old? My friends, after 15 years of not seeing me, they say, Isaac, you still look the same. You have not changed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That is what the blood is. I'm saying literally. It sustains you. Not only that, your life, your walk with God is sustained. There is life always coming out of you. There is always something about life you want to share. There is your life is so robust. Ever flowing stream. Hallelujah. But sometime, I think it was in 2007. The conference in Abuja. After I finished ministry, I opened my mail. Brethren from US, from all over the world, they said, Brother Isaac, you have not changed. The same way you used to shout, you are still shouting. Nothing has changed. You still hold the word. Brother, the doctrine, the things that God has implanted inside of you can only be sustained when you constantly and regularly eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
More so, when you look at from verse 60 to 64, hallelujah, it speaks clearly that this whole thing is a spiritual experience. It is not necessarily the physical. Even though the Bible says that which is natural is first, before that which is spiritual. Hallelujah. So we know that this whole thing is a spiritual experience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, we have another benefit. It opens our eyes. But Joshua was saying that. Now look at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24.
were looking for my engine now.
You know, it has to do with the two men. Hallelujah. Who is from verse 13? Hallelujah. It says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Are we together?
Yes.
Now, the two men on their way to Emmaus, they were not unbelievers. Are we together? Do we understand the background? They were not unbelievers. They were disciples of Jesus. They were people that knew Jesus. They were people that had been with him. They have seen the miracle. They have seen the power of God. So they were, you know, part of it. You know. So when the incident that happened, they were returning as it were to their base. Hallelujah. Amen. And as they were going back, they talked one with another, verse 14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, maybe I'll just read the story. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I want you to take note of that. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we say that fellowship is communication. They talked one with another. They
were,
hallelujah. And not only that, they communed. Hallelujah. Fellowship is what? Communion. Koinonia. They were communing together. Hallelujah. And as they reasoned, they looked at the issues. I believe they were looking at the things that were happening. They were looking at the word of God. And as they did that, Jesus came in their midst. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Any meeting you have, hallelujah, and Jesus is not present, that is not fellowship. We must create an atmosphere where Jesus is present in our meetings. And the only way to create the atmosphere is by coming by the blood of Jesus. Say, Lord, cleanse me. I have something against Brother Ackman. Father, forgive me. I now take Brother Ackman outside. Brother Ackman, you did something against me that I did not like. But I want to forgive you. Let's not discuss it. And Brother Ackman will look at him. Sure, I'm not going to discuss it. Please, I am sorry. Forgive me. We don't want to go into all the things that happen. But then when we begin to go through all the things that happen, we begin to whip up our emotions. And it will be difficult for us to say, I'm sorry. But when the fault is pointed out, we just say, I am sorry. What I'm telling you, brethren, I'm learning. My wife will point out certain things I want to argue. You know, I want to show that I'm the man. I want to show my display, my macho. Hallelujah. I want to display that I'm the head of this house. Hallelujah. And I want to argue. Hallelujah. Amen. But when you have a little quiet moment, the Spirit of God will say, come, what was that you are doing? He means you cannot. Who are you? Who do you think you are? You cannot say sorry to your wife. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then sometimes you just go through the corner. You are still a man. You go corner. You go and buy her ice cream. Hallelujah. My dear, you don't need to spend that money. All you need to say is, I am sorry.
Amen.
But we are learning, brethren. I am learning. My wife is here. She knows. Sometimes, you know, I don't even buy anything. Hallelujah. I just try to make it. Do you want me to carry your bag for you? Do you want me to help you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And most of you women, you don't even take it. And when we start doing that, you say, look at, because you want something now, that's why. Hallelujah. He's not always wanting something. God is dealing with the man in his heart. And he's responding to the rebuke of God in his heart. Brethren, that is fellowship. That is what communion is all about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So they communicated and Jesus came. And the Bible says that Jesus drew near. Jesus needs to draw near in our home, in our fellowship. He needs to come near. If Jesus is absent in your home, you are in trouble. There's one signboard in Port Harcourt. They say Jesus never misses any church service. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been thinking about that. I said Jesus can miss church service. Jesus can miss church service. That is the point. Not every church that Jesus goes to, my brother. There are churches he said, this one, I will never enter there. Are you with me? That also includes end time church. Hallelujah. So we're not talking about Pentecostal churches. No. In end time church, there is rancor, division, strife. Every man on his own, warring, contending, and fighting. In that congregation, you can be sure Jesus is absent. Jesus cannot attend that church. I've been in a place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
After preaching, after ministering like this, end time church, they say, brother, don't go down yet. Don't come down yet. They call the elders to come up stage. They said, the word that Brother Isaac has brought, we need to sort out the matters here. Here and now, we need to sort it out. So they called me. I told them, I said, you don't need to sort it out now. I said, the rest of the brethren are here now. Don't wash your dirty linen in public. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they took that. They said, okay, after the church. He made them finish the church. They met. I was not there. I was waiting for somebody to drop me. I was waiting outside. But there was still argument. There was still fighting. Oh, you did this. It's something that would have said, I am sorry. Brother, I am sorry. But they never did. I'm saying this, brethren, because it does not matter the nomenclature you bear. It can be end time church, heavenly church, triumphant church, imagine church, whatever name you like bear, Jesus can be absent. If there are rancor and strife contentions among you, that is what Corinthians church was doing. He told them that, look at you, that you are still carnal. If in this matter you still carry your brother, you take him to court, that you are carnal, Jesus can be absent, my dear.
Amen.
But these two people, as they communed and rubbed their hands, the Bible said that Jesus drew near. May Jesus draw near in our fellowship. May he come into our midst. Oh, when he comes, you can feel his presence when he comes. You can feel his power when he comes. He will come to deliver and to break chains in the midst of the people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 16 says, and their eyes. And their eyes were holding. Hallelujah. Prior to this time. Hallelujah. I want you to note that. Prior to this time, the scripture says their eyes were holding, that they did not know him. Are you following? Hallelujah. Because we are talking about breaking of bread here. They did not recognize him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, let us read down so that we understand. But I want you to know that. Verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? Hallelujah. He said, what manner of fellowship are you having? That's the word communication. So what kind of communication are you having? That you talk with one another. And you are sad. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know what he was saying? No true fellowship that ends in sadness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you with me? No true fellowship ends Somebody squeezing his face. Somebody grumbling. Somebody said, look at the way he talked to me today. Look at what that brother preached today. He was talking about me. Hallelujah. No true fellowship does that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. He said, and the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? I have not known the things which are come to pass there in these days. And they said unto them, what things? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and words before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of an angel, of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Amen. Just run down, just look at verse 30, we'll jump other things. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke and gave to them. And their eyes were opened.
Amen.
And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So one of the benefits is that when you break bread, your eyes will be what? Before now, your eyes have been closed. All these things that Brother Chijoke have been drawing here and saying, you don't understand it. But I'm telling you, we are breaking bread this afternoon. And when you break this bread today, your eyes will be open. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The word of God will no longer sound too mysterious to you. You are going to begin to understand it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was what happened to those two men. All this while, they were talking stories, telling stories about their experience. They didn't even understand the implications. Jesus now took time. By the time he explained all that, and they came to this place, he wanted to go. The people said, no, you cannot go. You cannot go, bro. They were calling him bro. They said, you cannot go. They constrained him to stay with them. Hallelujah. But immediately he said, is there bread? They brought bread. He broke it. They brought meat. And he made, my God. Hallelujah. You know what they said also? They said, while he talked with us, didn't our heart burn? Hallelujah. Began to recount the experiences. That is what breaking of bread does to you. It will help you begin to understand the things you never knew before. The things you never understood before. Your eyes will be open. Amen. Praise God. I will just rush. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll just give you the scripture. When you go back, just read it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you go back, read Mark chapter 14. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Our breaking of bread exposes our weaknesses. Hallelujah. It exposes our tendency to deny Him. It exposes our sleepy and slumbering state. It also exposes our tendency to betray one another. It also judges our retaliatory spirits. Breaking of bread will do it. Hallelujah. You know what retaliatory spirit means? Okay, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do me, I do you.
Amen.
God no go vex. Hallelujah. Who told you that? Do me, I do you. God will be angry with you. Hallelujah. That was the way He spoke to me last time. Why wouldn't I speak it? You too. That's the way you behave. When your fault is pointed, I say, you too, you do the same thing. So don't preach to me. You too, you do the same thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It exposes our desire and determination. Hallelujah. To follow on. Hallelujah. Amen. When you read Mark 13, you just follow it, you see. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It also helps us to open up or to know openings of attack. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We'll round up by reading 1 Corinthians 11. It's very long. Maybe when you go back, you read it. There we can see the impact of breaking of bread and the seriousness of this spiritual experience. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11 tells you clearly. Hallelujah. That when we eat it correctly, when we eat it with the right attitude, when we eat it with the right understanding, weakness, speaking about spiritual weakness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That our weakness,
spirit,
physical and spiritual weakness, are gone. Hallelujah. Amen. He said that for this reason, that when we don't eat it rightly, that for this reason, some of you are what? Weak. That is 1 Corinthians 11. When you read from verse 17 to 33. Not only that, he said also that when we don't eat it rightly, some of you are sick. Sickness takes many away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is some die through sickness. Not only that, not just through sickness, but some die. Hallelujah. In Igbo they call it onwumbregede. That is sudden death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 That is, you eat this bread, and yet you are quarreling with your brethren. You have things against the body of Christ. You are not discerning the body of Christ. You eat this bread, and yet, hallelujah, you go and you talk. Diabolos, slandering your brethren behind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 You know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They were eating the bread, and that was their undoing. They ate the bread. Let me tell you, that is the mystery about breaking of bread. It's of recent I began to understand it, that was what caused their death. That they ate the bread. And they came, they told lies to the church. So Peter asked them, he said, come. But it is in your power to keep back whatever it is. You don't need to give. Hallelujah. You know, there are certain things we do in the body because this person is doing. Me too, I can do. It does not work like that. Why? Because this body is a spiritual body. You cannot treat the body anyhow you like. And you think you can go scot-free. It does not happen. Oh my God, brethren, let us fear about how we handle the body of Christ. If the body comes and tells you, Bro Joshua, don't travel. My brother, you are safe not to travel. No. I tell myself, let me err on the side of caution. Hallelujah. Amen. We went and prayed over his land this morning. If we got there and the Spirit of God said, Brother Joshua, you see this land, sell it off, remove your hand. Would have told him. And normally, and nobody will talk about it. The ball is in his court. If you like, let him obey. But the body has brought a word to him. It is up to him to decide. But sometimes too, the body will not leave you like that. So. He says, I'm plucking out of fire. Is it not so? We tell you, brother, your hand is off this land, though. We are going to look for buyer for you. Whether you like it or not, we are selling this land. We will sell it. If you like the wrangling on the ground and the crying, that is entirely your business. But I have come to discover after the body has intervened in this matter, after a few times, we call it benefit of hindsight. You begin to see what happening or what was about to happen, why God has to say do this. Amen. So Ananias and Sapphira, it was in their power to keep back. They didn't need to show, you know, other people are bringing. They say, look up, but Joshua has nothing and yet he has brought this. Me too, I can bring now. Me too, I can bring. Let me go and sow in my own land. They sold. They said, nah, this is not wisdom. Ananias must have told Sapphira, this is wisdom. Now keep some. Give the brethren some. If they had said that, that would have been okay. But you know what they said? That is the value of the land we sold. That 50% we brought, that is the total amount that the man paid to us. We have brought it. You don't need to do that. Hallelujah. And Peter told them, why is it that you are lying to the Holy Ghost? The lie that you lie to the body has stages. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can lie to the church and you get away with it. But if you lie to the Holy Ghost, you are finished. Hallelujah. Amen. So he told the lie. They said, listen, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? And immediately, Holy Ghost, there are spiritual laws that guide spiritual experiences. It is hanging there. It is not Peter that manufactured it as he spoke. No. It is there. Spiritual laws guide spiritual experiences. So immediately he said, you have lied to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost knocked him down and the man was dead on the floor. To show the conspiracy, as the Pharaoh walked in, they said, your husband told us that he sold it. Meanwhile, they quickly carried the man and put by the side. So she didn't even know what was going on. So immediately she came and asked, is it how much you people sold this car? He said, yes. He said that the legs of the people that carried your husband, they have just walked out. They are coming to carry you. The man went down. Brethren, there are things we can avoid. The body of Christ is a mystical body. It is a spiritual body. You don't toil around with it and think you can go scot-free. But then let us stop attacking one another. Let us stop attacking the people that God has put over us. Let us stop attacking the body and ridiculing, looking them down. Listen, the body might look shaky, weak, look struggling, managing, feeble, no strength at all. That does not mean it's not the body. Our undoing will be when we look down on it and begin to say what we should not say and begin to do things against the body we should not do. So Paul writing in Corinthians, he said, you better be careful. Better be careful that you must discern the body of Christ. Look at the body. Discern it. You may say things you don't like. My brother, take it to God. Go and tell the head. Say, this thing that my brother said, I'm not happy with it. And by the time you speak to him, he will cool you down. He say, calm down. I know what I'm doing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Brother, it's becoming more and more serious how the Lord is treating and handling His body. The people of God must be also careful. Our breaking of bread comes to establish the things that the Lord is doing in His body. It helps us to take righteous position in God. Because if I know that I eat of the same bread of my brethren, that we are eating from the same pot, I know that none of us here will go and poo-poo in the same pan that you used to eat. Nobody will do that. Hallelujah. And some of us, that's what we do. We want to poo-poo on the same, look down, ridicule, mock. And yet we will still come here for fellowship. So still eat from the things that we have looked down upon. It does not work like that. Hallelujah. That's why he said that some of you become sick. Because you now begin to eat disease. What is supposed to give you life is now giving you death. What is supposed to bring healing to you is now bringing sickness. May our attitude begin to change. Can you just stand on your feet? Let's stand on our feet. And let's begin to pray. Let's begin to tell the Lord for help today. To bring deliverance unto us. That as we have even entered this new year, this new, we will change our attitude. We will begin to walk right with God. That as a people will begin to walk together. We'll begin to see the essence of our coming together as a body. And we'll begin to take this word, the apostolic vision, we'll begin to take the issue of prayer and the issue of fellowship and the issue of breaking of bread. We'll begin to see the seriousness involved. In what way have you spoken against the body? In what way have you maltreated and spoken evil against one another? There are many things that this can disqualify you from partaking of this bread and the wine. Just bring them before the Lord and ask Him for healing. Ask Him for forgiveness. Hallelujah. Ask Him to cleanse your heart. Let's begin to pray. Just talk to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can you just sing this song with me? Holy Ghost, do it again. Do it again in my life. Open my eyes to see Jesus. Seated upon the throne, do it, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, do it again, do it again in my life. Open my eyes, my eyes to seated upon the throne. Do it, Holy Ghost. Oh, do it again. Do it again in my life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There is something we are about to do now. And I want to encourage you to take bold step. Is there anybody here? You have grumbled, complained, said things about the brethren, about this church, about the people of God. You have bitterness in your heart. You have offenses in your heart. You felt that they did not treat you well. You felt that when your mother died, they did not come. They neglected you. You presented your need and they never did anything. And somewhere in the corner of your heart, you are still bearing that grudge. You may be an elder. You may be one of the brethren. It does not matter. I can tell you something this afternoon. It has been written in heaven for you. But today, you can erase it. You can remove that impression by telling God, Father, I am sorry. I forgive your people. And you want the church to stand with you, to plead with the Father to forgive you and to cleanse you. Can you just step forward and we shall pray. We shall pray for you. You'll be set free. This thing that you have done, that is why some are sick. That is why businesses have been tied down. That is why the children are not progressing. That is why there is debt in our midst. But today, this church of the firstborn, written down in heaven, has the ability to set you free. Because the Father has given them the authority. He says that whatsoever they shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He has given them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That whatever they lose on earth is loose in heaven. Can you just come forward? Just come, take this step, and we shall pray. And today, all the handwriting of ordinance that was against you shall be erased. They shall be cleaned up. And you are going to begin on a new slate. Is there such a person here? Are there such people here this afternoon? Can you just step forward? Can you just step forward? It does not matter who or what you did. Can you just step forward? Just step forward and we shall pray. I beg you to step forward. I beg you to step forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing the song again. Holy Ghost, do we Brother Barry can just come and pray for us.
Hallelujah.
That the Lord will have mercy upon each and every one of us.
Amen.
That as we break this bread together this afternoon, we shall not eat it to our damnation. We shall not eat it to our own death. We shall not eat it unto sickness, but we shall eat it unto life, and unto health, and unto deliverance. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother, what we are about to do is one of those mysteries.
I don't get that too many even for.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Things we cannot understand. But it's an ordinance. It's a, an ordinance is something that you do in the natural that has impact and consequence in the spirit. It looks very ordinary. It can release life and it can release death. It's a two-edged sword. Our God ordained it for life. The more often we do it, the more life is released to consume death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But because of its nature, it's something that we have to examine ourselves.
Hallelujah.
Amen. One of the importance of it and the benefit of it is to continuously look at ourselves all the time and look at our brethren.